Welcome to There She Is, the podcast. My name is Meg Rubidoux, and I've been involved in the world of pageantry since my junior year of high school. I am certain that the skills, life hacks, and wisdom I've gained from my time as a crown head can benefit others who wake up every day with the intention to live their best life. In this very first series entitled Win the Room, I'll be sharing real tips and tricks for both the pageant stage and everyday life with interviews from inspiring humans across the state of Massachusetts and the U.S. I'm so excited to have you join me on my journey as you listen. Let's get right to it. All right, so here we are, episode 3, Win the Room, Lifestyle and Fitness. Win the Room is a series of episodes that cover each phase of pageant competition and feature inspiring interviews with guests from across the country. I can say that now, across the country. We have our first person outside of Massachusetts with us today who have some level of expertise in the area of skill required by the phase of competition we're focused on. The goal is to put wisdom in the hands of our beautiful listeners that's both derived from the world of pageantry and applicable to everyday life and the pursuit of success. I've said it before, but just in case you're listening for the first time, I'm doing this podcast because I know that in my heart and soul that pageantry is relevant today, and I can say from personal experience that the skills you gain from competing are priceless. So today, our topic of conversation is lifestyle and fitness, which has evolved to become my favorite phase of competition. But before we get into that, I think I might explode if I wait any longer to introduce our guest for this episode. Holy beans, you guys. Not only are we kindred spirits with shared loves for art, dance, yoga, and the Enneagram, she's been involved in pageantry for as long as pretty much anyone can remember. She earned a degree in fine arts from the University of Arkansas, and she is forever our 2017 Miss America. Miss Savannah Janine Shields-Wolf is tearing it up.
That may be my favorite intro that I've ever been used ever. From now on, that's the only intro.
Yeah, just we'll play it when you walk in the room. It's like Seinfeld. Instead of the little doodle that they do, that'll be your intro.
It'll be the whole thing. Awesome. I love it. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Oh my gosh, thank you. This is insane. So I know that you're a pro at the elevator pitch, and so far we've had each guest give us our elevator pitch, but since you were Miss America, we need to step it up a notch. So I have an opening question for you that I heard on some NPR segment, and I thought that would be a really good onstage question. So what is something that you own that you know you should get rid of, but you just can't?
My plant.
What is it?
And so it's been dead for a few months now.
My plant.
I miss it so much, but I cannot throw it out. I know that it's dead, but I spend months trying to bring it back to life, and I would feel really bad if I throw it away.
I'm dying because I have a dead plant in my bedroom right now.
No, you don't.
Yes, it's a succulent. And I killed it, and I don't, I just, I, but it, it's the stem, I don't, no, there's literally a stem sticking out of dirt, there. And I just feel bad, I'm like, maybe it'll come back, it probably won't.
Maybe it'll come back, I should throw it away, but I cannot.
All right, now you can give us your elevator pitch, just tell us a little bit about who you are, what's in your heart.
Well, do you want to hear my elevator pitch whenever I was competing, because that's a little different.
Well, I want to hear the savvy
pitch. My elevator pitch. Oh, I love that. Okay, the savvy pitch. I love people. I love life. I love plants. I love colors. I love art. I love love. And sometimes that inhibits me from, you know, being very efficient, but I think that that makes me really passionate. I think some of the things that I learned from my years in Miss America and just in life in general, and we were just talking about this, is why would you not do anything if it's not 100% all your love, all your care, all of your motivation, all of your everything? And so you may be a little bit more tired at the end of your life, but I kind of want to give it all the whole time.
That's so good. You've arrived. Live like you've arrived.
My old, the one I used to feeling pageants was I'm from the rodeo home of the Ozarks, and I was baptized in a horse trough.
In a horse trough. I literally read that on your website yesterday, and I was like, she actually put that in there. That's too funny.
It's true. I grew up in a small town. I feel like I am much more of a city human, but there's a huge small town girl in me that loves that.
And so. The trendy churches are bringing back the horse trough more and more. I keep seeing
the horse trough, man. It honestly blows our mind. I'm like, actually baptized in a horse trough. Come on.
It's good. It's very good.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so lifestyle and fitness. I actually went back yesterday and read the blog post on my website that I'd shared with you back in March. If anybody wants to look it up, meganrubinu.com. It's called My Truth About Swimsuit Competition and How It Saved Me From Myself. And I started getting emotional in this smoothie place that I was sitting in, because I feel like that phase of competition for me, and I competed in Miss America, well, not Miss America, but the system. So it was a big part of just the tradition. And, you know, you just know you sign up. That's what you do. And we all consented to it. And I had such a blast with it. And just looking back, there's no way I would have the success that I have now, even just in my how I view myself, if I had not had my experience with swimsuit. So it's amazing. Yep. And as we know, lifestyle and fitness can look different depending on the system. It can be a fitness routine, a swim walk, or just the phase doesn't exist anymore. But regardless of whether or not you're a pageant competitor, moving your body every day and eating foods that fuel you is part of being a human. So to get the ball rolling, I'd love to know, what does a day in the life of Savvy look like in terms of how you fuel and what you do to invest in your own self-care via your fitness and health habits?
Well, first, I want to say that blog post that you wrote was so powerful. I mean, that was amazing. If you're listening and you have not read it, you need to go read it. It was so powerful, and I just agreed with every single part of it. I mean, I think that we kind of have this warped view of fitness in our minds when we think that fitness looks a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that oftentimes we always think of how it looks, but we forget that the biggest part of fitness is how it feels. And how it's in our body and how it just, but yeah, just, it's about how it feels, not about how it looks. So, and every day for fitness in my life has shifted multiple times. I think that I've finally gotten into some sort of a routine, which is like the best feeling ever. But this year, my fitness routine is I go to yoga every single day in the middle of the day. And so that has been something that has not only like helped just, you know, my body and feeling like I'm in tune with everything that's going on, but that's also helped a huge part of my mental state, which I think is a huge part of like physical fitness or mental health. And so I do yoga every day. I work out with Nate in the afternoons. And then throughout the day, we have really honed in on, you know, when you get married, you forget that like you don't have the same taste buds. So it's taken us a while to kind of figure out the healthy food that we both love to eat, that we've kind of gotten in a routine with that as well. And I've got my, you know, collagen coffee right here with me, but it's something that and Nate says this really, really well. It's not about the big picture. It's about the small everyday decisions. Mm-hmm. It's, exactly. Am I going to go work out today? Am I going to have a oatmeal for breakfast, or am I going to go get McDonald's? Or am I going to have a smoothie after work, like a lunch thing? Or am I going to go get drinks with friends? Like trying to figure out that like small choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about these tiny choices. And so I feel like that is liberating in the sense of it's not this overarching, all-powerful, like, you are healthy. It's this, like, small, like, I'll make this decision and this and this. And these small choices add up to a really big life change, which I think is just
so good. I know Rachel Hollis, who I'm sure you know who she is. Yeah, you know who she is.
Awesome.
I absolutely love what she says about, I believe this is in Girl Wash Your Face, her newer book, where you don't want to, if you try to take on the big goal all at once, you're going to lose your head and it's not going to happen. You need mile markers. Yep. And I feel like every single, when you approach it as a series of choices, beginning with the first one, it makes it so much easier to follow through. And then pulling from what Mel Robbins always says is that it's habit formation. That's really all it is. And then once you get over that hump of being like, all right, I have to make this choice, and it's very simple, you know, choose the healthy thing. That doesn't make it easy. But once you get over the hump of doing that so many times, it becomes so much easier.
Like a snowball, you know, like once you like, I always find like whenever I like eat something healthy in the morning, like from that first thing, like, I'm going to be healthy the rest of the day. Yeah, or, like, yeah. If I go, like, you know, on a walk in the morning, like, I have this energy the rest of the day. Or, you know, it's, like, these small decisions kind of have a snowball effect in both directions. I mean, like, if I eat, you know, leftover cake for breakfast, you know, that day's going to be just a whole lot.
Yeah, because then you've already screwed it up, so... Yeah, that's awesome. And I can't tell you how many times you brought this up. I've quoted you on appearances and interviews just in life. And I know I'm not the only one because this one caught fire when you said it. We should love our bodies for the way that they work, not the way that they look as much. Maybe you didn't realize it when you first coined that idea so eloquently, or maybe you did. But in my head, how I make sense of that quote is just that it serves as the perfect justification for the value on the place that lifestyle and fitness in some capacity has in pageantry. And I've said before, I believe there's this body positivity movement has sort of been hijacked, where the focus has shifted from women being active and pursuing health because they love themselves to this idea that, you know, I love myself, so I shouldn't have to change anything about how I live. And so my question to you is, moving forward, how do you think we can sort of reframe how we approach lifestyle and fitness in just everyday life that will help us go from a place of, ugh, I have to do this so that I'll love my body, to, wow, my body's such a blessing, so I want to bless my body back with energy and strength every single day.
Man, hot dang, I think it's right in that question right there. Holy shit, sister. You know, I think that with anything, and absolutely everything, our greatest strengths become our greatest weaknesses.
So good.
You know, there's quotes that we find that are fantastic, but when used in excess, become something that really doesn't help us in the long run. And so I think that that's exactly what you're saying with, you know, we can take the body positivity, which has been instrumental in my growth as like a human being, accepting that, you know, I'm not going to be the skinniest girl in the room, but I don't have to be anymore.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. But in how do you reframe that? I think it's very simple. I think of the women that I look up to in my life who preach body positivity hand in hand with them taking care of themselves. One of the biggest biggest influencers that I think of is Ashley Graham. Yes. I mean, holy shillelagh. She is an icon live in. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the most inspiring things that I always find is, like, she posts her workout videos and she always posts, like, I am dead today. Like, that was insane. But right after that, she's posting a picture where she literally looks like Beyonce reincarnated. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's shifting that mindset. You know, I think oftentimes, not just at this beginning, but with social media culture, we always end up thinking of, okay, well, what does the end result look like? Like, what's the end result? And that's what fitness is. Or the end result, or those 20 seconds on stage is what the lifestyle and fitness portion is. And in reality, those 20 seconds on stage are like this much, or like they're like 0.000001. It's not even a number. But that's what lifestyle and fitness portion, you know, so much more than that. It's daily decisions. It's putting our mental health above, you know, like wanting to feel really insecure. It's putting daily decisions of encouraging our bodies to love the way that they work, not the way that they look. Mm-hmm. It's reminding ourselves of why we're doing it in the very first place, which isn't for the end result. It's for the journey.
And I think like, that's something. Yeah, that too. The portion of competition, I feel like how it has changed over the years from like a display of women's bodies to really with the empowerment movement, it's meant to be a culmination of saying, look how freaking hard I work every single day to do this 20 second swimsuit walk. You know what I mean? And even if it's a fitness routine, you know, like going on stage and saying, I've done this push-up. I'm an outstanding teen. I'm 12 years old. I'm 13 years old. And I've done this push-up 100 times every single day for the past 6 months. Like that's amazing.
There is nothing there's nothing more. And, you know, we always live in this like instant satisfaction and gratification. Like that's what we crave. But it is so much more satisfying when, like, I'm going to use the push-up example, when like you can do a push-up and you're like, whoa, did I just do that? Let me do another one. And you're like killing it. And you're like living your best life. Like, and I've never felt more empowered or like I could conquer the world than when I was on stage in high heels and a bikini.
That is so funny that you say that. I love that you use that example.
It's true. I'm telling you, I mean, I know we've talked about this, but the very first time I put on a swimsuit and I was getting ready to compete in my local, I almost did not compete. I looked in the mirror and I dropped in the fetal position and started crying because I did not like what I saw in front of me. Yeah. I couldn't even handle looking at it just myself rather than standing in front of a stage of people looking at it. Mm-hmm. And it was, I mean, because for, you know, 20 something years, I had talked so negatively about my own body. And if it wasn't for, you know, this intense need to, I mean, get on stage, I don't think that I would have ever taken so much control over my negative thoughts and to train my brain to, again, focus on not loving the way that it looked, but loving and like feeling powerful in the way that it worked, you know? And so I think that that's just, and regardless of pageants or not, that's just something that I had to even refine after competing for so long. You know, you get into this competition mindset and, you know, when there isn't that end goal, it is kind of hard to like want to push yourself that far.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
And even, you know, just this year, I feel like I've kind of reclaimed my fitness. You know, there's not a stage, there's not a wedding, there's no like end goal that I need to like look my best for. Mm-hmm. But it's figuring out like, no, I want to feel my best for me. And because in this life, I want to live it all, I want to love it all, and I want to, you know, feel like I, you know, taking care of myself.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I mean?
That's so good.
While we take a quick break, I want to tell you guys about this protein powder that I'm obsessed with. When it comes to your health and wellness, you deserve the best. Led by nature and backed by science, New Zest products are designed to give your body what it needs to balance the demands of a busy life. Every morning I wake up, I start my day with a New Zest coffee coconut clean lean protein shake with medium chain triglycerides. This paleo-friendly protein powder is also vegan, free of dairy, soy, GMOs, and gluten. Try it out for yourself at newzest-usa.com and get 15% off your order with the coupon code THERESHEIS.
And I do want to just, you know, say quickly, don't want to have to spend too much time on this, but I've borderline had an eating disorder when I was in high school, and my heart breaks for the women who rejoiced when, you know, we don't have to go too deep into this, obviously. We kind of talked about this beforehand, but when the swimsuit competition was taken out of Miss America, there were so many young women who said, oh, thank God, because I had formed such unhealthy habits from the pressure of swimsuit competition.
I hate that too.
It makes me so sad because I feel like even if you're getting up on a stage in a swimsuit and you are not fueling your body correctly and feeling the way that you could feel when you step out on that stage and, you know, you're empowered, whether, even if you're not stepping out on the stage, when you step out on the beach, when you wake up in the morning and you're showing up for you, that looks like fueling your body. That looks like cardiovascular health. You know, that's what it comes down to. So it just it breaks my heart that there are women who have felt, you know, the pressure to go in a different direction. And I feel like this is an opportunity to, like you said, like reclaim the liberation of making the healthy choices.
Well, and I mean, going through, and again, we'd always touch on this earlier, but I mean, with every good thing, and I'm going to take it the spiritual route. I mean, like, you know, Satan's going to make it bad. Like with anything, I mean, like with something that because came so empowering to me, I mean, it can be so detrimental to someone else's health. Yeah. You know, which breaks my heart. I mean, and like, it just, like you wish so badly that like there was, I mean, we have social media, but you wish so badly we could all be in this together, like talking all the time.
I know.
Like, we got this, we got,
I know,
it together.
But, well, there's your opportunity for you to write your first book. I mean, So I know for me personally, kind of, you know, getting into going down the wrong direction, I guess you could say, is I know for me personally, the best way to slow myself down, get stuck, land myself in a rut, is to fall into the mental trap of thinking, I put this on my Instagram a couple weeks ago, so I'm going with this, but Oh, I went nuts with the cheese this week on vacation. So there's no point in going to yoga today because it's not going to make a dent in this cheese consumption. So what would you say to the local title holder? Or maybe she has yet to win her first crown. Maybe she's a working mom of three. Maybe she's the girl going to the gym for the first time who feels like she's too late. There's no point in starting now. What would you say to her?
Oh man, you're killing it with these questions. I'm telling you, I love this. Like, these are such like well thought out. I mean, I have two thoughts going on. My first thought is, wow, how many times do we like almost punish ourselves for like, oh, I shouldn't have had that extra piece of cake? Or like, that was my first thought when you raised the cheese thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm pretty sure I thought that yesterday. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's so messed up how, and that's just not how we should treat ourselves. That's just not how we should treat our bodies. I mean, we like need to take care of them, and life is about balance and life is about living. I mean,
that's so good.
We don't want to live our entire life, you know, just like restricting and not like loving and caring for ourselves, you know? All right. So second question, answering your question about like, what do I tell the girl that, you know, thinks it's too late? I would say it's absolutely not too late. And the hardest part about anything really is just getting started. Mm. Like, once you take that step and you're like, all right, I'm here, let's do it, it is so much easier. I mean, our minds play such heavy tricks on us. And I think one of the biggest things, I mean, even in just a small thing, like going to the gym, hardest part about going to the gym is driving there. Literally. Once you get there, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But the hardest part about going to the gym is driving there. The hardest part about like eating healthy is deciding what to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all in our minds. And I feel like a lot of times we, or I, get crippled by the fear, well, what if I try and it doesn't work?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is also a thing that hinders me in just, you know, in life, you know, I mean, not just in my fitness, but in other areas, you know, what if I try and it doesn't work? And I think whenever we focus that in just the small path of our fitness life, you know, that's, again, we're focusing on the end result. We're not focusing on the journey.
Oh, that's so good.
You know, we can't control what the end result is. I mean, everyone's bodies are so different, and my healthiest point is going to be so different than Nate's healthiest point, which is going to be so different than your healthiest point. And that's, you know, again, something that we can't control. We can only dictate taking these small steps and feeling that we, you know, are trying.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something, you know, is to kind of be aware that your feelings, although they are validated, are not always true. And your mind will play tricks on you all the time.
I have a youth leader growing up who always used to say, feelings don't have brains. That has helped me through probably every emotion I've ever felt.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
So good.
I've never heard that.
Credits to Laura Mansfield of Taunton, Massachusetts. Yeah, she kills it.
It's so true. It is crazy. It really is. I mean, the ability that our emotions can have so much power over us is very haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Very haunting.
It definitely puts it into perspective. Like, you have control. You have control. It's so hard. And this is why we have, you know, mental health counselors who are trained professionals, trained to ask the right questions and let you arrive at the answer that's right for you. But it's so important to remember, like, don't, when it comes to fitness, don't let your brain be mean to you sometimes, you know? I mean, I was on my mat yesterday looking at myself in the mirror, and it's so funny that you said, like, the push-up thing. I was doing the little chaturanga push-ups, and I was like, I can do 8 million of these if I wanted to. And I'm looking at the girl next to me, and I'm like, she's so strong. And the girl on the other side, she's so strong. So how dare I look at the mirror in myself while I'm killing these chaturanga push-ups and think anything other than, wow, she's so strong. You know, like, that's powerful. Those are the feelings we give power to. But that kind of is a perfect segue into the tips section of the podcast. And this is kind of the precursor to the tip, but fitness is not one size fits all. So the tip would be to try everything until you land on something you love. And in 2017, when I went to the gym for the first time, I literally hated running. It was bad for my asthma. It was bad for my mental health. And no matter how many times I did it, I think I did it every day for a year, I could not get through 2 miles without feeling like I was dying. And, like, that just was not right for me, you know?
I have never run 2 miles in my life.
Oh, my gosh, it's miserable.
So I hate running with a passion.
It's that not good.
Shocking to me.
That's so funny. Yeah, that was like, oh, man. But I have friends, and, you know, this is like, just because your neighbor has 24-inch pythons for arms. I got that from my fiancé. He'll like that. 24-inch pythons. And has won, you know, every CrossFit competition in the country doesn't mean that's the way to be healthy. That's their way to be healthy. And you should find your way that's going to set your muscles and your soul on fire.
Totally.
It's insane.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one of the best things that you just said was, like, find what you love. I mean, like, fitness so often for me growing up was something that I hated.
Yeah, you know, you it was hate something it, that you're not gonna want to do it.
Exactly. And it was something that, like, had this sour taste in my mouth when I heard other people talk about it. When I talked about it, I hated it. It made me feel not confident. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the thing that got me hooked was, like, combat classes, like punching bag classes. Like, those were so life-changing for me. Yeah. And, like, I didn't realize I had so much anger in my life, but apparently I do. And I would love, like, I craved going. Like, yeah. I craved it. I mean, like, it was so influential in me loving fitness because, I mean, before that, like, I've never run 2 miles in my entire life. I don't think you could pay me enough money to run 2 miles. I hate it with a passion, but, like, I love combat classes. Like, I would go to, like, 5 hours worth if I could, and I think that that's just such a key thing, is to try things out. I mean, again, tough part's going to be going and showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it will not be that hard.
Yeah.
Whether it's a cycling class, whether it's a, and I always say classes because you don't have to think of what you're doing. You're just so being good. Taught. I always think such a great segue into if you're trying to figure out what you like to do to, like, keep your body moving, just go to classes. You can just follow along. You can stand in the back, peace out if you don't like it. It's a really great thing.
Yeah, no, I love classes. But,
totally. Just trying out classes and figuring out, you know, what's best for you, I think is, you know, just a really great first step.
It's so good. And it's so funny, just, you know, this just, again, illustrates the difference. I had a friend who was doing, like, the MMA stuff, and so I was like, oh, maybe I'll do that to get fit, and I can't, you know how you'll spar and, like, somebody will have the mitts and then you'll have the gloves or whatever. I will dry heave if I do that. So, but I can do 2 hours on a yoga mat in an 11:11 yoga class and be fine.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So
it's so true though. Everyone's fit is different. Yeah. Everyone's fit is different.
All right. Tip number two is move your body every day. And I always think of the Baptist callback thing they do in church where they go, God is good all the time God is good. I'm making a new one. This is the There She Is, the podcast version. Move your body every day. Every day, move your body.
That is hysterical.
So that's the new one.
It's perfect. Move your body every day.
Move your body every day.
I love it. Yeah. Every day, move your body.
Yeah, and, like, it's so funny because I'm Enneagram type 3, so burnout is, like, my best friend. So doing what's right for you, like, my rule of thumb that I found is that at least three hard yoga classes a week. And then, you know, so that's, like, 3 days a week. You can spread them out. And then every other day, walk, jog, vinyasa yoga, you know, a good stretch, or, and I know you'll like this one, if you're savvy, walk to the farmer's market to buy the celery you need for your juice for that week.
Carry back 5 tons of celery.
Yep, just lift the celery. Too funny. But yeah.
It's funny because it's true. It's funny because
it's true. Hey, I have 2 bunches down there right now if you think I don't. And then tip number 3 is the excuse. Okay, this is another one where it's like the precursor to the actual tip. So if the excuse is, I don't have time, then you're right. Like, if you're looking for time, you won't find it because it will fly past you while you're on your phone, sleeping in, or doing busy work. You have to make time, plan your schedule ahead of time, and don't bail on your plans. Like, don't be the first person you'll break a promise to. You know what I mean? Like, if you make plans to go to, if we made plans to do this Skype session and then you were like, oh, Meg, like, I can't, sorry, like, last minute, obviously, we wouldn't have a podcast episode. So don't do that to yourself. Like, don't be the first person you break a promise to. Habit formation is key. Like we said, once you get over the hump. And then I'm going to put tip number four is up to you. What would you like to give?
Give yourself grace, man. I think so often we just are so freaking hard on ourselves. You know, either we didn't write enough, or I should have swayed more, or I wish that I was stronger. I wish I looked better already, or why isn't this fitness happening fast enough? Why do I still look like this? I think the biggest fitness tip that I wish I learned earlier, and I think still learned, I think I still really need to learn this, is giving myself grace. And I think, you know, so often, you know, you're a 3 on the Enneagram, I'm a 4. And I think when any Enneagram number, they want to feel confident, they want to feel safe, they want to feel loved, they want to feel like themselves. And I think that one of the hardest things that we do on ourselves, is talk so negatively to ourselves. So I think that something that's super stupid, but super simple, is whenever you find yourself criticizing your body or criticizing your abilities, is to right after that say something really good about yourself.
So good. I love it. And, you know, I also noticed, like, last night on my mat in that yoga class, looking at the girl next to me, just thinking, you know, like, in this space, I am not going to be critical of myself. Like, I'm here doing something that's going to make me better tomorrow. You know what I mean? Yeah. And in the long run, like, this is another mile marker that I am whizzing by.
Huge. Absolutely. And even just being like, no, like, I could have been watching Netflix right now, but no, I'm here working out and it's awesome. I'm amazing. Let's put on some Lizzo and feel good about ourselves.
So good.
Do what you need to do. Tip number 5 is just turn on Lizzo.
I love it. That's too funny. And yeah, and I mean, you know, we'll wrap it up, but just one last thing that literally, they always do this to me. They get me at the end of the yoga class where they'll say something super poetic, or they'll play, what's that song by Laura Daigle that's out right now that everybody knows? You Say. They'll play that during Shavasana. I'll just start bawling. So this, you know, I just got off my state competition having, like, walked away without, you know, any sort of award, which is fine. And it happens to more of us than it does, you know, winning the big one. But she ended her yoga class by saying, you know, there's no trophy at the end of this. And that moved my heart. Like, you don't have to, like, feel right. It's like, ouch, that hurt. That feels like, wow, that brought something up in me. That's just like, you know, this is your life. Like, you are arriving because you're here doing it.
All you have to do is show up.
All you have to do is show up, and you've already won. Like, wow.
Yeah.
That's super powerful, especially for people who kind of, like, are in that mindset of, like, there's always another crown to take, you know?
Right.
But,
right. Yeah. I mean, especially for us pageant girls, we are so used to, if it's not the end goal, why am I doing it?
Yes.
You know, if I don't, like, or it's, like, there has to be, like, I don't know, there has to be, I don't know, it's weird. We're so performance-based.
Yes.
We're so performance-mindset, which is so great. It has so many fantastic qualities because we push ourselves more, we're passionate, we're, like, go-getters, oh my god, all those fun, super hype things. But I think also it makes us really intense people, intense on ourselves, which just, I think you nailed it on the head. It was so powerful. Can I tell you a really funny story real quick about yoga?
Yes.
So, yoga class I ever went to, you know, at the very end, they go like this and they say, namaste.
Yep.
Right? Their hands together. I thought that they said, have a nice day.
Yes.
And so, literally, that's so nice of them. Like, thank you. And so, literally, for about a year, I thought they were like, have a nice day. But that they would just say it super fast.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
And so, not until, like, maybe this year did I realize it was namaste.
I remember having this conversation because I did the same thing, but it was with all of the poses end in asana. Like, so many of them end in asana. And I, you know, going into yoga and having never taken it before, I knew to listen for asana because that meant we got to lie down at the end of class. And so we'd be 5 minutes in and they'd say something that ended in asana and I'd be like, time to lay down. It was not time to lie down.
Bye.
Oh,
thank you.
Gosh. Yeah.
Oh,
seriously.
That's terrible. I love that.
So we have to end this podcast at the very end. We will bow. We will say, have a nice day very fast.
Have a nice day.
But before we do that, thank you a million and one times for doing this. This is incredible. And I know so many people in my home state of Massachusetts and all around the country are going to be so just thankful that you sat down to have this conversation, because there is so much in this that everybody needs to hear from you. And you can, you should write your book. I'm going to be waiting for it. But where can the people find you? And do you have anything coming up you'd like to share?
Oh, well, I don't know if I can share it yet, but yes, be on the lookout. You can find me at Savvy Janine on Instagram and basically every other social media thing. I'm Savvy Janine. So is my website. And be on the lookout for some really exciting art stuff that'll be coming soon.
I love it. So exciting. All right. And we fold and we say, have a nice day. That's amazing. I love. I'm sorry. You guys, that was so much fun. I cannot believe that episode 3 of this podcast featured Savvy. How amazing is she? Go give her a follow on Instagram, and hey, if you really loved what you heard, do me a huge favor. Take a screenshot of it and post it in your Instagram story and tag me so I know you were here. One other thing you can do, because I know you love your girl Meg, is to rate and review this podcast wherever you're listening. If you are able to give a 5-star review and write a nice little something, that would be a huge help. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll see you next time.